ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः पाञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful verse which I like to chant before classes. Yasya prasadadagyopi sadhyak sarvagyatam rajetsa shri chaitanya devo me bhagavan samprasidatu. May Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto me. By His grace, a complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. And another one from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shri Chaitanya Padam Bhoja Madhupevyo Namo Nama Katanchida Shayadye Sham Shapitad Ganda Bhagbhavet. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the devotees of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are like honeybees. Even if a dog takes shelter of such devotees, he will get his share of the honey from the lotus feet of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another one from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Tam Srimad Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagat Guru Mesyanukampaya Swapi Mahabdim Santaretsukam. I offer my respectful obeisances to Jagat Guru Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose grace even a little dog can cross a great ocean very happily and easily. And one more relevant to my topic. Vaigunya kita kalita paisunya vrana pidita dar narana vani magno ham chaitanya vaidem ashraye. I am eaten by germs and insects of my defects, and my body is burning in boils of critical mentality and enviousness. Therefore, I immerse myself in the ocean of humility and take shelter of Dr. Chaitanya. Chaitanya Vaidyamasraya. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Much stronger energy than wish-fulfilling energy is energy of mercy in Krishna. You certainly might have heard that in the beginning Krishna didn't want to be bound by Mother Yashoda because it was not in his schedule. In his schedule he thought, I have so many things I must do. I have to go break the pots to that house. I go to steal butter in that house. I have to go to play with my friends. And if I'm bound to the motor, I will not do what I'm scheduled to do. So therefore, because he didn't want, he had a desire not to be bound. Therefore, he is Satya Sankalpa Shakti, wish-fulfilling potency, just twisted or curved the space in such a way that even though he was bound with a black kinkini belt, which was not very long, a huge rope couldn't bind him. No matter how many ropes everybody brought. And it was a concerted effort. It was not also, even her singular. It was not effort of just Mother Yashoda alone. The whole village was helping, all the ladies. So it was like Sankirtan. And still, it didn't work. And only when Krishna saw that Mother Yashoda is trying so hard. And she's trying so hard, also not because she is angry. You remember, she had a stick in her hand, right? But then she threw it away because she thought, oh, he looks rather scared. It will be a childhood trauma if I beat him now. So then he will be, I don't know, scared of women or something. And then, so, okay, let me find some easier, some not so scary. Maybe let me just bind him to the motor so he doesn't do any naughty business. And she was not angry, and she was, even that, she was doing as her duty. She was thinking that it's my duty to train Krishna, because I'm his mother, he must grow a nice boy, so I must discipline him. So she was working very hard, and then when Krishna saw Parishrama, then his Kripa Shakti saw, oh, Mother Yashoda is sweating, her braid got untied, and flowers were falling down from the braid as if to stop her, Acharyas are explaining, as if the Vaishnavas were on Krishna's side, the flower Vaishnavas were on Krishna's side and were trying to impede Mother Yashoda's efforts. So then when Krishna saw that she's trying so hard, then his Kripa Shakti pushed aside his Satya Sankalpa Shakti, his omnipotency as God, and then all of a sudden, that rope was just enough, was just perfectly sufficient to bind Krishna to the mortar. So Krishna is kind. Now, we have several lists of Krishna's qualities. We have a list of Krishna's qualities where? Which list of Krishna's qualities do you know? 64, in which book? Nectar of Devotion. They are called uddipanas, or stimulants. Yeah, some people say that it's the purpose of our sadhana to re-establish. There are in the recipe of rasa, there are five ingredients. If you want to prepare rasa, you need five ingredients. And the first ingredient is vibhava. Vibhava, sthayi bhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhichari bhavam, that's the southern part of nectar, the nectar of devotion of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We have Bhakti Chaitanya Swami's seminar on it on our website, vhe.org, if you're interested. And other speakers too are available. So vibhava is establishing who is who, that I am the container. It doesn't sound very poetic and rasika to say I'm the container. you can use a more poetic word, maybe vessel. Mm? Vessel sounds more rasika, right? You can use in a poetry container, maybe some, I don't know, punk rock song or something. Yeah, but you can say vessel. Yeah, that goes for any poetry, right? Vessel. And Krishna is, so or Ashraya. And Krishna is the Vishaya. We are the vessel of love, of rasa. And Krishna is the object, Vishaya, of our rasa. So usually when we speak of love, oh, love, l'amu, it's so nice, Liebe, Lyubov, and we oftentimes think that I should find somebody to whom I will be the object of love. So that's that could be part of it, but that's really not going to make you really happy. Only when you are the vessel of love, then that's actually love. And if this love is directed at the ideal object, at the unlimited absolute, Prabhupada says in the introduction to the Nectar of Devotion, that our love grows. First, we love the mother who feeds us. Then we love the family. Then we love the sister. Then we love the community. Then we love our nation. Then maybe the humanity. But our propensity to love is unlimited. In the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says something that I'm sure every New Age person will love to hear. Prabhupada says, you cannot live without loving. So if you're alive, you love something, at least sabji, maybe. Which is a very submissive and surrendered object of love. If there is not, if there is the proper amount of chili and everything. But chili is like the vyabhichari bhavas. It adds some excitement to that. So our propensity to love is unlimited. So therefore, only when this love is directed at Krishna, then we will be satisfied. And these 64 qualities are the udipanas. They are the stimulants. So when you hear Krishna is merciful, that should be enough for you to start crying cold tears. Not the hot tears. Cold tears. And or laughing hysterically. Or roll on the ground, or jump in the air, or whatever other anubhava is appropriate in this moment. Like, for example, you can say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which is also, so what is anubhava for perfect devotees is sadhana for us. We do this as sadhana, they do this as anubhava, expression of their love, naturally. So we have 64 qualities in the Nectar of Devotion, and mercy is mentioned there. There is another, one other place which all of you have encountered, I hope. I am 99% sure, 99.5% sure that you have read this other list of Krishna's qualities. There are, I give you a hint, there are 50 qualities altogether, plus few secondary mentioned. Where is it mentioned? It was a sad conversation, a very sad conversation, and there were two participants in this conversation. One of them you are sitting upon right now. Mother Earth. And the other was what's in your heart? Religion, dharma. You remember? Which canto? First canto, yes. So there, the dharma bull is asking Mother Earth why you look unhappy. So then she says, well, how can I be happy? Krishna used to always touch my body with his lotus feet, and now he is gone. And then she lists the 50 qualities, and she mentions also mercy there. And Sridhar Swami explains, mercy means inability to tolerate others' suffering. Mercy means you cannot tolerate, you cannot allow others to suffer. It's intolerable. In other words, it's more pain for you to see others suffer than to suffer yourself. So now, so that's Krishna. So Krishna is very merciful. Krishna is extremely merciful. So now, how doesn't he tolerate your suffering or our suffering? Because maybe some of you don't have any suffering anymore, but some, except maybe separation from Krishna. But that's not suffering, that's a kind of ecstasy. But if somebody does suffer, how Krishna, what Krishna did to help you remove that suffering? That's his quality, he cannot tolerate anybody suffering. And some people are suffering. So what did Krishna do to help you to remove that suffering? Huh? Mercy, how? Which? Huh? Devotees, yes. That's 100% sign of good fortune. Yeah. We see Parikshit Maharaj apparently is cursed, but all the devotees from the universe have come to help him with Krishna Katha. So that's a sure sign that curse was mercy. It looked like not mercy, but it was the highest mercy. So if you have devotee association, that's 100, even if something unfortunate, like I remember once my passport was stolen on the way to India. But as a result, I got to travel with Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj for a month. And I considered that that was worth 10 passports. Or maybe 100 this month of traveling with him. So that's mercy. Bhakti Sarupstani Maharaj likes to say that also another sign of mercy is that you have service. If you have service, that means you have mercy, 100%. But how did Krishna specifically help, okay, devotees? But what did he do to help devotees exist and remove devotees' sufferings? Bhagavatam, literatures, spiritual master. Yes. So what he did, he left with us his lila, katha. So he performed lila, and this lila, or his pastimes, his activities, are the river of nectar. There's a famous verse in the third canto, Kapila Shiksha. Satam prasangamamavirya samvido bhavanti hrit karana rasayana katha. When devotees get together, they discuss Krishna's heroic, wonderful, amazing pastimes. And this discussion is rasayana. Rasayana is a medicine, and it's elixir. Elixir, or rasayana, rasa ayana. So rasa is taste, and ayana is a vehicle. So it's something that returns into your heart some taste for life and makes a dead person alive. We have one book, Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas, it's called, I think. It's a little, very beautiful book. It's called Shlokas, right? Bhakti Rasayana, or Bhakti Rasayana just, Bhakti Rasayana. Bhakti Rasayana, yes. It's an amazing book. And this is my experience from something like year 2000, when I felt very dry, almost desperate, and not cynical, but half dead. And then our very merciful Shashinandana Maharaj was in Vrindavan, and he was giving Rasayana Katha. And I still remember discussion how these discussions, descriptions, how Gaura Chandranana, I think her name was, in Mathura, she came to Mathura, to Krishna, and Krishna said, "Who you are?" And he said, "I don't remember." She said, "I don't remember, because Mathura probably makes one amnesiac, because we see, you came to Mathura, you forgot who you are. You forgot you're the lover of the gopis. You forgot you're the son of the of your parents. So I also don't remember who I am." And there were more to that. But I remember after listening to this, I was revived. I was brought back from, my heart was brought back from the dead. It's like, you know, you have ash and then you sprinkle some rasayana on it and boom, and there is a new life. It comes like phoenix, right? It comes back to life. So that's rasayana in the association of devotees. So Bhagavatam is rasayana. That's 325.25. And also the verse Prabhupada mentions in the seventh canto as a medicine to cure our offenses, to reduce our offenses in chanting. He says, he suggests two verses that help us to cure offensive chanting. And one of them is 10.1.4. So this verse says, Nivrita tarshai rupagi yamanat bhavaushada chrotra mano biramat kautama shloka gunanu vadat puman virajita vina pashugnat. This verse says that uttama shloka gunanu vadat. Who will refuse to hear the description of the qualities of uttama shloka, the Lord who can be described only in the best poetry? You cannot describe the Lord in any other way except using transcendental, the most amazing poetry, because his qualities and his nature is transcendental. And poetry also uses some non-verbal means. I mean, it uses words, but to create non-verbal, to create emotions. And not only emotions, but also to create some subtle concepts in your heart. So he's uttama shloka. So who will refuse to hear the topics about Krishna sung by those who have given up material thirsts? Because these topics are bhava aushadhi. It's the medicinal elixir which cures our bhava. Bhava means existence, but usually it's translated as material existence. It's sometimes translated as not being, because it's coming from the word bhu, to be. But bhava is more precisely, there is even some philosophical essays, being and becoming. So in this world, we are all becoming, 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 and nothing, we never become what really is good. And then again, we become something, and then again, we try to become. So that's bhava. You become, 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 and with a short ah. That's material existence. Instead, we return to who we eternally are, to our surupa, to being, to this spiritual nature. So it's the medicine to remove this disease, painful disease of becoming, becoming, becoming something we are not. Anyatha rupam. And it gives taste to ears, to mind, to ears and to the ears and to the mind. So it's explained that every category will be benefited and will be pleased. Materialists can enjoy, spiritualists can enjoy. And that's the reason why devotees definitely should not shy away from discussing also, that we remember in the introduction, Jagatarini Mataji said she was hesitating, should she speak about such rasika topics, Krishna stealing the garments of the gopis. But then it turned out that the Mayavadis don't shy away from it, and materialists don't shy away from it. So if we don't speak about it, then it's left only in their hands. And how will they present it? They will misrepresent it. So devotees must present it in a proper mood and in a proper light, with a proper understanding. But we see that it's confirmed that even materialists and even liberationists, they like to discuss those topics. That even, of course, unfortunately, they may not take it from the Nivrita Tarshair, from the proper source, from pure devotees, meaning devotees who accept Krishna as the goal and bhakti as the process, which includes all of you. And who will refuse? And of course, bhaktas, devotees will experience rasa. So who will refuse? Three kinds of pashugnas: cruel people who kill animals to eat them. That's one category. Another category is those who kill themselves out of also unable to tolerate the pain of material existence. They think, okay, let me disappear and merge and go to nirvana and go into the void, emptiness, and the I is the disease and this world is the medicine. Let's put them together and nothing will be left. just like medicine and disease destroy each other. So in the same way, let me destroy the disease of I, and then nothing will be left. Of course, I think under the influence from, I remember what I read, what Buddhists were writing 20, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and what they are speaking nowadays, they have started saying that, no, when we say void, we don't mean total void. It means nothing material. I think they have read our books already. They understood that that makes no sense whatsoever. It's a psychological, it's a good psychological trick, but not a good philosophy. So Pashugna. So they also may try to avoid reading this, refuse to read it, being misled. And the third kind is mentioned in Bhakti Sandarbha, who will refuse. Who will not engage in Bhagavad Katha, Krishna Katha, Guna Katha, is, Bhaktisandarbha explains, somebody who offends devotees or criticizes devotees. Such a person will also destroy his taste for Krishna Katha. If he criticizes devotees, it will kill the taste for Krishna Katha. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Mukunda that if some guest comes and you do a nice massage to their head and to their arms, I don't know. Ladies don't have this luxury of being shaved by an Indian barber, but if you go to an Indian barber, in most cases they will not just shave your head, they will also massage your head, and when they become enthusiastic they will massage your face and they will with amazing, creating amazing sounds that you didn't think your body can produce. Yes, have you felt it? Have you tried it? It's amazing. So somebody comes and you do such an amazing massage to them, and then you take a stick and beat them on the feet. And then the person says, you're crazy. What are you doing? You'll say, why are you complaining? I just did a nice massage to you. And boom, again, beat on the feet. Will he be happy? Will he come again? So Krishna says, in the same way, if you offend my devotees, it's like trying to massage the head and then taking a stick and beating the feet. So he tells this to Mukunda, who would go to Mayavadis, and then he would say, yes, when they were saying some offensive things about Bhaktas, Bhakti, and Bhagavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it destroys because it hurts Krishna. So he says it destroys happiness in my heart. So if I'm not happy, how can you be happy? By taking my darshan. And if you are happy taking darshan, like if you look at Govardhan, do you feel some taste in your heart? If you look at Radha Govinda or Radha Shyama Sundar, do you feel some taste in your heart? So that's a good sign. That means that maybe you didn't do so many offenses that it destroys Krishna's taste. Krishna's taste. So these are the three kinds of people who will experience no taste. But we know that even if there is no taste, if you continue, it will cure us. It will cure us. We see even that Bhaktisiddhantaji, our illustrious Brijbasi Pandit, says that it's from his commentary to 111. I didn't see it there, but it's in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's biography. He says that we see that in Bengal, the culture of kirtan is widespread. Everybody is happy to sing kirtan. and sometimes they love kirtan. But he says, why don't we see that character of some of these kirtaniyas improves? Why don't they stop eating fish? Why don't they stop indulging in sinful activities, blatant sinful activities? He says, because we don't, like, just like we don't worship Krishna alone, we worship Krishna and with his Sarupa Shakti. In the same way, Harinama Sankirtana is Krishna. And Bhagavad Katha is his Sarupa Shakti. So they need to go together. So, like we worship Radha and Krishna. If you say, okay, Krishna, you come, Radha, no, you don't come. Will Krishna be happy? Will you get the full benefit? So Bhagavad Katha is the medicine which will explain how to chant, which will help us to, you know, to chant. And we see in Shikshashtaka, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is one of the undisputed works of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are some other works which are disputed, whether it's his or not, but Shikshashtaka is undisputed. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, yeah? So that cannot be more confirmed than that. So there, in the first verse, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies Anandam Budivardhanam. It's the ocean of bliss which ever increases, which all of you certainly must have experienced every morning, ocean of bliss increasing more and more. So next, second verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yeah, all your shaktis are namnamakari bahoda anija sarva shaktis. There's not even a very strict rule. How do you chant? Durdaivam idrishami hajani na anuraga. But look at my misfortune. I have no taste. It's all the shaktis are there. I have no taste. So what's the solution to this predicament? So that's verse 3. Where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi suniche nataro rivasahishnuna amanina manade na kirtaniya sadahari. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives four medicines there, which are certainly, actually you can see that there are echoes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Manada is also one of the qualities of Krishna. When Krishna is described, that's one of his qualities, manada. Amanina, if you see, that's also one of the qualities of Krishna. Amani. He's not proud. So tolerance is mentioned among Krishna's qualities. And humility is there. So these are the four medicines. If we chant Kirtaniya Sadahari, if you continue chanting unceasingly, in never stopping, that's the first main requirement. If you chant all the time, I mean forever. But how we chant? So with humility, with tolerance. With respect. And Prabhupada translates giving proper respect to everybody. Giving proper respect to everybody. Which in chapter 29 of Canto 11, Krishna says is the best sadhana, which quickly cures our problems in the heart. So with respect and with pridelessness. With pridelessness. So with the meaning, if you have some good qualities, you do not indulge in pride. You are not seeking prestige, and you do not try to reap awards for yourself, reap the benefits. You're not trying to get the perks I don't know how you're going to translate this, perks. It's difficult to translate. The side benefits of your position, which will come. And again, they will come. And again, they will come. But if you are not identify with whatever place or position you may have. So if you chant like this, then the next verse describes ruchi. The next verse will describe such taste that you will not care about anything in this world or in any other world. You will just be absorbed in Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. So, humility, tolerance. Whom should we tolerate? Whom should we tolerate? Material desires. Yes, is that what you said? Nature, material nature. Tolerate material nature. Yes. Ourselves. No, that's a very deep psychological insight. Yes. True. It all starts from inner pain. It all starts from inner pain. Yeah. Usually we hate ourselves. Half secretly. Sometimes openly, sometimes secretly. And then because of this inner pain and self-loathing, that's an expression for that. Self-loathing. So hating ourselves. That's why we, attack and bite others. Okay, what else should we tolerate? Or whom else should we tolerate? Others. Others who? Like who? Huh? Okay. Are you doing something to him? There? No. He's the closest. Mind, triggers, those who trigger us, yes. Devotee serving with you, yes, yes. Urges, yeah, Vegas, yo vishaheta dhira, but the Shamrita one, yes, tolerate the urges, yes. And there is one person who we need, who? Exactly. We need to tolerate Krishna. Which sounds strange. However, oh brothers and sisters, oh fathers and mothers, oh daughters and sons, I can say it like this now, no? We are all here in this world because we couldn't tolerate Krishna. At least we got stuck here because we couldn't tolerate Krishna. Maybe some of us came on a Mission Impossible 15 or something, on some really, you know, to go and preach up a storm and return everybody back. But then we got stuck on somewhere down the road. And this is one of the shocking things I read in 5.15 Gita commentary by Baldevidya Bhushan and Sridhar Swami. It turns out that the door to the material world becomes immediately unlocked as soon as we accept two things about Krishna. That Krishna is fair or just, and that Krishna is kind or merciful. Vaishamya nairgrinya na sapekshatva tatahi darshayati. If somebody says Krishna is not fair, vaishamya, not just, not nyayapurna, not gerecht, not, what, which other, nesprovidliv, which other languages we need. Or if, in other words, when something happens to him or to her, usually we can figure out how it looks more or less probably according to the just workings of karma. when I see something happening somewhere, we usually can somehow or other understand logically. But when it happens to me, I think, why me? I have Japa, I have Shika, or... And now I, you know, I got a cold all of a sudden when I have to give a class. Why me? You know, why today? Krishna. It looks strange. I think he likes him and her more than me. He's okay. He's very just to them, but to me, I'm not sure. Okay, maybe 2 days ago he was okay. He was just. He was fair. They gave me 3 boxes of sweets. That looked okay. But today, I don't know. I'm not sure. And kind. Not only he is fair. He's also kind. So Vedanta Sutra says, somebody blames him. That's wrong. Sapekshatvat. Krishna always engages in a very just and merciful exchange with everybody. It's just that we wanted, well, so we get what we want, actually, and deserve. And all this Tathahi Darshati, all the stories in the Purana and in the Bhagavatam and everywhere else, they show it. They illustrate it. They confirm it. So when I read it, it was shocking for me because I thought I was trying to be a devotee, practicing devotional service, and I am not free from the material nature. So it means that somewhere, either openly or most probably secretly, I keep blaming Krishna. I hold Krishna responsible for my problems. And that's why I'm still locked in the prison of my material conditioning. And vice versa. If I learn not to blame Krishna, not to criticize Krishna secretly, bas, material existence is over. So therefore, Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion that this verse you have on the screen should be the guideline for every devotee. Tateno kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvagvapurbhir vidadhan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhag. This verse says that this is the art mastered by a devotee whose place at Krishna's lotus feet, muktipade, is already assured, dayabhag. So which devotee who is expert in su sam ikshamano? Ikshamano means seeing or finding what su sam ikshamano. He's mastered the art of seeing everything as anukampam, your mercy. That this happened to me, it's your mercy. And he says this not only with his words, hrid, and it's a combination. It's a combination of my atmakritam, of my actions, and your mercy. Prabhupada says, by my karma I had to lose my arm, and by your mercy I just got a cut to nudge me in self-development. To learn some, to teach me some lesson. And a devotee continues to offer respects to Krishna, not only with the body, not even only with the words, but with the heart. So then, finished. Then you are already, your reservation is confirmed and reconfirmed. And your place is there. It's confirmed. Krishna says, Yahprayati Mameti Sarjuna. When he goes, he comes to me definitely. Definitely. So what does it mean practically? You can see that actually this is the Sanskrit for thank you. In Sanskrit, when you say Anugrihitosmi, Dhanyosmi, Dhanyavat, anukampitosmi. It's the Sanskrit for thank you. And you can see also in many other languages, merci means thank you, grazie, gracias, Eucharistos, you know, all of these mean mercy. So to say mercy. So here's a homework to all of you to tell Govardhan 10 times or more. You must hit some level where you have to go deeper into your heart. Maybe you have to say 20 thank yous, maybe 30. To unblock that channel in your heart where mercy flows. Say, especially if something happens that you don't like. Thank you for my cold because it helps me to be humble, because you train me in tolerance, because even though I do have cold, I have a full suitcase of medicines. So you have provided everything. And whatever is necessary. Then it works. Then things happen. You are here. Sometimes Shachinanda Maharaj, Srila Shachinanda Maharaj, in his opening, he says, you are in the pilgrimage. And on pilgrimage, it's the rule. You take everything as Krishna. You seek everything as Krishna's mercy. Whatever happens, arrangement, merciful arrangement, like Krishna for you, not cruel arrangement, because he doesn't like the shape of your earlobes or something, and he thinks, okay, let me do something nasty to this person. No, it's a merciful arrangement by Krishna. And thank Krishna. Compose 10 or 20 thanks to Krishna. And then you will see, because very often we perceive pilgrimage as a pleasure tourism. It looks like tourism, and tourism is for my pleasure, right? It's one of the 8 regulative principles in Mahabharata. The 4 regulative principles, same as ours, and there are 4 others, one of which is not to travel without some spiritual purpose. Just for, you know, not to just be a tourist for my entertainment. And unfortunately, very often we take a visit to the Holy Dham as a pleasure tour. So therefore, Krishna has to somehow or other help us take it differently. But we can do the preemptive adaptation from our side and take it as service. It's a sacrifice. In the fourth chapter of the Gita, Yoga Yagya is explained as the sacrifice of pilgrimage. It's a sacrifice. You are here not for your pleasure, but for Krishna's pleasure. Same as in everything in bhakti. And then if you do like this, then your pleasure and happiness is a side effect. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for weathering the cold morning. Thank you very much for listening in an alert way. Anybody has a question or a comment? Maharaj?
Thank you really very, very much. In that known verse, you brought out with this commentary of Srila Valadeva Vidyabhushana, a really deep understanding that once you can accept that Krishna is fair and kind, the door to your material imprisonment opens wide, and very, very, very nice. Really, very thought-provoking and very Shastric, and I'm really, Krishna gave you a jewel. This is very nice. I'm sorry, I just have two technical questions here. The Sanskrit way of saying thank you is anugrahosmi?
Anugrihitosmi. Anugraha is mercy, and anugrihita, I have been given, I have been favored, I have been given mercy. Or anukampitosmi, anugrihitosmi, anukampitosmi. There are several ways, many different ways of saying it, but that's dhanyosmi, I'm fortunate, given fortune, and it comes to the modern little bit more neutral dhanyavad in Hindi and other Indian languages.
Thank you very much. And do you remember, if not, it's not a problem, the eight regulative principles, the four others, the fifth?
Yeah, there are...
Not to travel without a spiritual purpose, then?
Yeah, four, almost same as ours, and four extra is not to travel without a spiritual purpose, and three more is not to criticize anybody. Krishna also mentions this in Canto 11, too, in Uddhava Gita, same as also Chaitanya-charitamrita. And not to indulge in dancing for entertainment. That's why the sannyasis were, Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi were criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is this? You're breaking a very simple principle. And one more is, I'm sorry, not to sleep at the daytime. I'm very sorry. But it doesn't say, I mean, I was actually, and it's a tangent, but even 100 years ago, people used to sleep 10 hours a day because there was no lights. It was normal. So even 50 years ago, the average amount an American would sleep would be 8.5 hours. So that's why Prabhupada says again and again, 6 hours, 6 hours. But nowadays, it's the other way around. People hardly get 6 hours. And driving, and you can see, we have lost uncountable devotees to sleepy driving. So in the sixth canto, how does it? Natyashnato natiswapno. One who sleeps too much or doesn't sleep enough, he cannot be a yogi. And if one regulates just these four activities, then yoga bhavati dukkaha, you will be free from all misery. So not sleeping in the daytime, that's there. Means, I don't know, a 15-minute nap is included in? Is it counted as sleeping or it's not? I don't know. No, yeah? Okay, Leonard Krishna says, no, it's not counted. So you can quote Leonard Krishna. And nobody prohibits you from going to bed at 8 and getting up at 4. And getting very solid 8 hours if you need. I'm sorry. This is Mahabharata. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj likes to quote it. And there was one more. We have many more questions. I cannot see who is there. Okay, one question from there. Yes. Yes.
Sridhar Swami. Causeless mercy. So, is that not a cause that I can't tolerate? That seems to be that the mercy is born out of a specific cause. And yet we hear very often that the mercy we receive from Krishna is causeless mercy.
That's a technicality. Because, yes, you can say that it's inspired, but it's just, you see, it's a commentary by Sridhar Swami where he explains what mercy means. He says, being merciful means being unable to tolerate others' suffering. It's not that one follows the other. You cannot tolerate and then you decide, okay, let me be merciful. It's one and the same thing. Mercy means you cannot tolerate others' suffering. That's Sridhar Swami's explanation. It's not that there is one cause and then there is the effect. It's the same. It's just the restatement, redefinition of the same quality, in other words. And even if it were put in some chronological sequence, it still is causeless in a sense that nothing really, it's a haituki. When we say causeless, it means a haituki means it's not motivated. There is no motive for Krishna or for a Vaishnava, at least there shouldn't be for a preacher. There is no motive which is, there's no vested interest, no selfish interest in giving that mercy. Hare Krishna. Okay, so we have many questions. Shall we go tell them no breakfast today? Or we decided to stay here and drink rasa? Yes, okay. Yes, so does everybody remember our homework for today and tomorrow and every day? How many? As much as, if it takes two, it's okay. If it starts flowing, two is enough. But if not, then add more until you actually have to really. Did you ever do the free writing exercises with Bhajan Prabhu? You remember in the beginning it's hard, but then it starts flowing. It opens some things, some channel opens in you. So same here, when you actually feel some gratitude flowing to Krishna and Govardhan and devotees. And specific, and especially if something happens you don't like, so you can use this medicine to change the mentality, change our consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Vanchakalpa Darubhyascha.